clothing for safaris and expeditions. This is the Wild Eye Podcast. Hey everybody, my name is Jerry, I'm from Wild Eye, and after many questions and kind of years of planning for trips and packing for trips, we are in the process of looking to shoot a video in which Johan and I are going to talk you through what clothing to pack and to wear for safaris, because it's not all the same. It's been said that there's no bad weather, it's just bad clothing choices. So in this episode, I'm going to chat with Johan through some of the basics of what he looks for when he packs. And then if you find this on the audio platforms, go and check out the Wild Eye blog. We will include the video where we actually show you the different pieces of gear as well. So I'm going to have Johan join me and we're going to chat from there. Johan, hello.
Hi, G.
How's it going?
Good, good. Hello, everybody.
Lekker. So what do you pack when you go on safari? Let's say you're going to the Masai Mara. What goes in the bag first? Clothing-wise, we're not talking cameras now.
Okay. So shoes. I'll always pack two pairs of shoes in case of rain or in case the hyena is still one of your other pairs of shoes. But yeah, shoes will be the first thing for me. I personally love the freedom of movement, the fillies. I find them very comfortable. But you know, if you're coming to just on holiday, like any trainers or closed shoes, that'll be first. And then always at least so two pairs of longs, two pairs of shorts.
Sorry, can I stop you? Yeah. What's the other pair of shoes? Do you take two pairs of fannies?
Two pairs of fannies,
yeah. Let's just, for our Americanese people and the Canadians and all everybody out there who travels, what is a fanny?
A fanny is basically like a brown...
Bush shoe,
yeah. I think it's just a level down from a boot.
Okay.
Between a boot and a sneaker.
Yes. Yeah. Comfortable, and they are hard-wearing, which is great.
Yeah.
So you take two pair of those. Do you ever take flip-flops or sandals or Birkenstocks or something like this?
I do on certain safaris. Probably not for the Mara. Mm. And I will have my traveling shoes, which would be like a pair of sneakers, something comfortable for the flight. But in the Mara, I find I just don't have time to put flip-flops on. Yeah.
This begs a question, so we're going to double it slightly. Is it okay for people to wear flip-flops on a plane without socks and you see their feet? Because I've seen some horrible things, man.
I think if your feet are looked after, then yes.
So the scale. There's a continuum in this.
There's a scale.
Because I was sitting in a plane and kind of sitting back as the plane, I think it was from Nairobi, actually. And I put my seat back and this thing came through the seats because the guy was putting his feet up.
No, that's...
Anyway, so just be considerate.
Yeah, I mean, one of the benefits of going through Nairobi with flip-flops is, you know, when you go through the security
system, 100%.
It does make it a lot easier because you have to take your shoes off twice.
Yes.
So if you have flip-flops, I often do travel if we have to do that late-night flight. Mm. I might then have flip-flops in if I remember the fact.
Yes.
But otherwise, you have sneakers.
It is a thing with travel. I mean, we'll get to ease of use and packing later on. But I do. I mean, I'm currently wearing hiking boots, and that's a ball ache sometimes because shoes open, on, off, this, that. It would be nice if the airports can standardize those things, but hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got two pairs of shoes in the bag. What goes next?
Then at least two pairs of longs. So I think this also depends on the destination you're going to.
Break it down for me. Let's hear.
If you come to the Mara and like we know our staff, before my pair of longs has hit the ground, Mary's already put it in the wash.
This is true.
So I'm not going to pack, you know, five pairs of clothing. And we often get people that come to the Mara that say, I wish I knew, I would have packed less. So I'd say two pairs of longs is enough, and then two pairs of shorts that I'll pack in.
When you say longs, what are people thinking? Cargo pants, tech pants, denim? What are they looking at?
I think whatever you're comfortable in. I love cargo pants, so I wouldn't necessarily travel with guide and jeans. I just don't find them comfortable for me personally. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to find what is comfortable for you. You get some of those longs that have the zip. That
above
you could,
the knee.
Above the knee, mm-hmm. then turn into shorts. Those are super popular with a lot of people. I kind of find the cargo pants that I enjoy. Yeah. So I think any long pants that you are comfortable in, and as long as it's fairly sort of neutral colored. No, I think...
Don't wear your bright orange ones.
Yeah. I mean, if you can avoid it, then do. Yeah,
rather.
I mean, a lion is not going to come out the bush and attack you, but it's just kind of...
It's a bit loud.
Bush fashion, if you want to call it that.
And from a destination point of view, do you think people should take longs and or shorts to different destinations? Let's say they're doing monopools versus Mara versus Uganda.
Yeah, I would always take longs and shorts with. I think for a place like Uganda, for example, you're going to be in longs for the majority of the time. But then, because you're going to be walking, you're going to be trekking. You don't want to be trekking in shorts.
Stinging needles and all those kind of things.
Then, you know, you are back at the camp quite a lot earlier than you are at other destinations, where then you might want to be something a little bit more comfortable and be in shorts. So I would always have the two, because the change in temperatures also can be quite significant from the mornings being very cold, where you don't want to be in shorts.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you're in the Mara camp, that sort of time at lunch and before afternoon game drive, you know, it does get quite hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might potentially want to be in shorts and shorts.
Are you one of those people, very much like Grant Marcus, that if it's very, very cold, you just wear two pairs of pants, short pants?
No, I wear longs.
I don't think I've seen Grant in longs. Like, no, I lied, maybe once.
Yeah.
In 20 years of knowing him.
I often find myself becoming like extremely lazy when it comes to changing and stuff on safari, like, you know, in camp when it's really hot. Kind of just suck it up and just stay in longs, because often in the evening
you're gonna come back
and then you put longs back on again. I just stick to longs. That
I think this is a theme that's going to come up, is most people overpack.
Yes,
majority of people overpack quite dramatically. There's the laundry aspect, but there's also people need to understand that going on safari is not a fashion thing.
Yeah,
you're comfortable. And you're wearing functional clothing. It's not fashion.
No one cares what you look like.
Exactly.
5 o'clock in the morning.
I've had people in the Mara camp on the first night, and at other safaris, new guests who haven't traveled, and this is their first time, and they'll arrive at dinner, and they're all dressed up.
Yeah.
It's like, dudes, where are you going? No. What are you...
I mean, there are places for that.
But like specifics, that's what we're going to get to.
Yes.
Which, like, if I go to... Let me ask you this. If I go to... let's cut the Mara camp out of this. Zambezi Expeditions.
Yeah.
Right, which is a tented camp
on
the river. And I go to Singita Faru Faru. Are you going to take the same clothing?
No.
What would be different?
So you'd probably, if you go to Singita Faru Faru, you probably have something. And I think, again, it all depends what you're comfortable with, right? So if they're not going to not allow you to go for dinner, if you're
going to chase like you away.
No, exactly. But... you kind of want to blend into your environment in a way. So I think the Singitas, Lonolozis.
Long pants for dinner.
Long pants for dinner, maybe a nice collared shirt. Again, it doesn't have to be...
What you're wearing now, would you wear that to dinner? On safari. It's a golf shirt. A polo shirt.
Yeah, I personally would. But it also depends, you know, the level... For me, from a working point of view, it depends on the level of lodges I'm going to and the people that I'm taking on that safari. If I know the people are, you know... comfortable and easy going with just wearing whatever they had on the game route, then I would, you know, kind of wear the same thing.
Yeah.
But if I know it's people that would like to dress up, then you kind of want to
100%
keep up that.
I think that speaks a lot to guide ethics and guide awareness.
Yeah.
That if you come back from game drive in the evening, that people want to go and freshen up first, go put a nice shirt on.
Yes.
It's just kind of that's what's happened.
Yeah.
But if you arrive from game drive, it's been 47 degrees out there all afternoon, they say, listen, let's just go to dinner, have a drink, and then that's cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're digressing. So, in your bag, there's two pairs of shoes, which is fallies.
Yep.
You've got, say, two longs, two shorts.
Yeah.
Always?
Yeah.
Most trips?
Yeah.
And then what's next?
Everything. And then it'll be my guiding shirts. So
which is what? Explain that to people.
So, it's long-sleeved safari shirts. I mean, there's many different brands. We're currently using Craig Office, which I personally love the shirts. And I love the long sleeve. So, just for... if you're in the sun the whole day, you know, it does protect your arms quite a bit. I think it's something that people don't understand, that if you're in a moving vehicle, you know, you don't actually feel that sun on you. You see people get back from driving, they roast it. So I think it covers all destinations. You know, when you go gorilla trekking, you want the long sleeves to protect you from some of the vegetation.
The ones you're speaking of. So the Craig Hoppers, is it the Mozzie one? The Mozzie treated as well or something?
Nosy Life, yeah. So it's SPF. And Mozzie, I don't know how they do it.
And it's very thin. You can wash it and it'll be dry 20 minutes later.
Yeah. Yeah.
That to me is the win, because I can go on a 3-week safari and take four or three of them.
Yeah.
They fold up very tiny, so it's very easy to travel with.
Yeah.
But the idea of having that tech fiber. Andrew's wearing a safari shirt today. I think it's K-Way. It's quite a heavy, thick one.
Yeah.
That, for certain destinations, if you're going on an evening drive, works well. But for majority of players, when it gets hot, that it takes a bit much. So I think the consideration as to what type of safari shirt, that tech stuff, is really good.
Yeah, I think something that's very popular in the US is Columbia. So,
yes.
So they... So
they've got phenomenal stuff.
If you don't know Craig Hoppers, then you know Columbia is a brand. They've got the... I think it's the fishing shirts. That's where it originated. So I would highly recommend long sleeves. I mean, you can roll them up if it gets hot, but it does protect you quite a bit. And then if it gets a little bit cooler, then you can just roll them down. And it works quite well.
So on a, let's say you're going to do 2 weeks safari, so far in the bag, two pairs of shoes and whatever you're traveling in. You've got two longs, two short pants, or trousers, depending where you're from.
Yes.
Then you have, how many of these shirts would you take for a 2 week safari?
I would probably take all 5 of mine. So I've got 5 just to rotate them, so I don't wear one out completely.
Yeah.
But I would take 5. But I think if you're coming on a holiday, three to four would be.
Because remember, the question again would be, for those of you listening, is ask about laundry.
Yeah.
I've been to quite a few lodges in my life, as have you, and I would say more than 90% always have laundry. Yeah. It's always there.
Yeah.
But check that. Okay. So we've got the shirts. What's next?
And then I would have sort of two types of jackets. One like a thin layer.
And what is this? Is it a puffy? Is it a shell jacket?
So at the moment it's a puffy, just because it folds up nice and small.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have a bigger rain jacket just in case, you know, in case it rains or if it's very cold in the mornings. I just find those really big jackets, especially if you're having dinner, they can be quite uncomfortable to sort of...
No, you're knocking stuff over.
Yeah.
And it's like you feel puffed.
So that's when I'd have like something warm for the evenings to have. So I always have those two jackets. And I think people often think, oh, yeah, I'm coming to Africa. It's going to be hot. I promise you, I've had people from Canada that are used to minus 20 that have frozen.
Chill on the vehicle.
That's true.
Even in the Mara, certain times of the year, I'm trying to think, September, October, those mornings, you have people, we've got hot water bottles, they're wearing beanies, they've got a Maasai blanket and all their jacket. It gets really cold.
Yeah. And always take a jacket with you on safari. You know, you might leave the camp and it's clear skies and then 2 hours later it starts pouring down. Rather take it and not use it than be stuck up there.
So I get the puffer. You've got a North Face one.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a little puffy jacket.
Yeah.
We'll overlay some of the videos on this. But what is your big one? Is it the big Wild Eye one?
Craig up. Also Craig.
How would we, is that a parka? Because it's not a dedicated rain jacket.
It's kind of like a wind, I think it's more of a windbreaker.
But it's a big puffy jacket that kind of hangs below your butt.
Yeah.
So it's almost going towards the parka, but it's not a, and this is where I want to go destination specific. It's not a dedicated rain jacket. It's not a dedicated windbreaker. It's a bit of everything.
Yeah.
And if you, and the nice thing is with this, and when we get to the cold weather stuff, it's layerable.
Yeah.
Is that a word? Or let me say this, you can layer it.
Yeah.
You can have your puffy underneath and then layer that over the top.
Yes.
Do you take a dedicated rain jacket?
No.
Never?
No.
Uganda?
No. Also in Uganda, they give you the ponchos as well.
Yeah.
So it's you know, finding out from the camps what they supply you with and what they don't.
Sure.
Those ponchos, otherwise, just suck it up.
I've recently started using the Helly Hansen Loki jacket. Yeah. I'll overlay it on here as well. It's a green, I don't know, K-Way has one. One of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's literally, it rolls up to the size of like, smaller than a macro lens.
Yeah.
Not the Canon macro lens, because that's pretty fucking big. but a normal small lens, it fits in my camera bag.
Yeah.
So that's been cool, because if it's warm out, but it rain and there's a bit of wind, it cuts it off, but it's easy to pack. But again, that becomes very destination. Are you going in rainy season?
Yeah.
Do you need all of that stuff? How can you layer that?
Yeah.
Right. So on top of your two jackets, what next?
Then I'll take a cap. So it might, again, area dependent. So it might be just like a normal baseball cap or a broad brim hat if it's a place that the vehicles don't have roofs. So maybe south of Wang, where, when it's really hot in October, you kind of want as much protection as possible. A place like Brazil in the Pantanal, where you're on the boat, you don't have a roof. But majority of the time it would be a baseball cap.
Okay.
Again, this is all depends what kind of works for you, what fit you prefer.
Then do you take beanies?
If I'm traveling in winter, yes.
Explain to people, what is winter on safari?
So in South Africa, Southern Africa, anytime from, I think, like May, even up to, I would say, like September. We often say like September is like spring starts, but I've had some cold mornings in September on safari. So if you're coming on safari during that time, anywhere Southern Africa, so South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Namibia.
Again, rather have it, not a big deal to pack.
Yeah, exactly.
What about gloves?
Very specific. I mean, maybe if I'm going to Madikwe in June, July, or potentially Tswaga, then okay. Absolutely.
And do you have any particular choice of gloves or a preference?
So I've got, I think the ones I have now is First Ascent,
okay.
But they're completely closed. Yeah, now you get those ones that flip open, yes. Where you can use your fingers.
Is it the small tight-fitting ones? Or is it more like robust?
It's more like ones? Robust, like ski ones.
Yeah. And it hasn't got the things on, because there's some of the things on the fingers where you can even use your phone with.
Yes. So okay. these don't.
Okay.
And so you're kind of like stuck if your hands are in there.
I'm just thinking off the top of my head, I don't think I've ever taken safari. I've used them in Madikwe when I was guiding there.
Yeah.
Tuala, I know it was pretty cold, but I didn't have them. But other safaris, I don't think I've ever used gloves.
No, not in Africa.
It's more for like when you and I go to Tromso at the end of the year.
Yeah.
They're specific. And when we do the video separate from this, we'll talk about the gloves. But
yes.
The big thing is to have, it's nice to have your index and your thumb pop open.
Yeah.
So you can access the gear and then work from there. What about a scarf? I know a lot of people take scarves on safari.
So I'll take a kikoi. In fact, I'll normally take two kikois with me. So one would be for my camera. So if you don't know what a kikoi is, it looks like a scarf, but it's a big sort of piece of material that is between a blanket and a towel.
So it's like a safety blanket.
Yeah, almost something like
that. Isn't there that kid from Snoopy, Linus, that always had his little blanket with him? Is that right? Is it Linus? She's had enough of going back. Okay, so what do you use it for? One of those over the camera.
Yeah. And then the other one, you know, you can use for any types of weather. So you can use it as a scarf when it's cold. When it's really hot, you can soak it, put it under your neck, and it cools you down.
It's surprisingly effective. People underestimate. When I was in, where were we? In the Delta now, at Little Vimbura, it was, I think it was like 42, 43 every day. It was nasty, right? And what the staff did is they would give us, I didn't use them, I gave it to the lorry, my client. And a little bag with ice and water in it. This thing sits in it.
Yeah.
And then we take those two with. You take it out over your shoulders, over your head. And you've got the wind coming through it. Then it is a beautiful air.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if you go to places where they don't have air conditioning, you know, if you soak that in the shower, put it over you, and then put the fan on you, it works up to the charm. So I always travel with that as well.
Yeah. And then is there any other piece of clothing? I'm just thinking off the top for safaris. That pretty much covers everything.
That covers everything, yeah.
So can you and do you, when you go on, let's say, 2 weeks safari, can you travel carry-on only? Not, with a little caveat here that you're not going to the Mara, we have to take half of the office with you. Okay. Because we're taking stuff up from here. If it's just you 2 weeks travel, can you go carry-on only?
Without photography or with photography?
Both.
With photography, probably not. I think without photography, I would be able to sneak it in. I think they're going to look at me funny if I have.
Yeah, because the camera bag can be quite big.
Yeah. My camera bag always weighs more than my luggage.
That was the next question.
Yeah.
Because people, I think, and let me think before I say this, I'm just going to say, I think people coming on a photo safari, if your luggage is weighing dramatically more than your big camera bag, this is assuming you're not shooting like Fujifilm or Olympus, the smaller brands, right? Then you need to reassess your packing.
Yeah. I think the majority, I don't remember, in my bag is a first aid kit that also goes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I always pack in like a lot of medication and stuff more for the guests and in case something happens.
Sure.
So if I had to take all of that away, purely clothing,
let's run through quickly just for people to give them a packing list. Because if you find this on the platforms, there is going to be a blog where we'll have PDFs that you can download just to kind of per destination, right? So go and find the blog. If you're listening to this audio today, what is today? The 5th or something?
Yeah.
It'll be up in the next 5 days or so. But give me the numbers. So in a small bag, shoes, how many pairs?
Two pairs.
Long shorts. Long shorts. Oh, my God. Let's start again.
Or short long.
Or short long. Shoes, two pairs.
Two pairs.
Long pants.
Two pairs.
Short pants.
Two pairs.
Safari shirts.
For me, I go more, but I think you can get away with three pairs.
Okay. Jackets.
One big. Once more.
Mm. Is it, and then things like hats and beanies and gloves, which is minimal.
Yeah.
I know we spoke about it yesterday. Do you still wear, they've got a funny name for it, but these vests with a cutoff? Do you wear that thing?
I do. And
it's a very nice, and this depends if how cold people get, but that to me, I remember the very first Wild Eye one we had I'm talking, you must have one of them way back, those brown ones.
No, I think it was even before.
Oh my God.
Yeah, soft
shell one. Yeah. You're from, I think it was African Nature still. I still have that thing.
They're very
nice. I've replaced the zip and everything. It's a very nice way if it's very cold, just to layer.
Yeah.
We'll talk about layering now for the cold places, but that's probably the only thing I would maybe add in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think people overpack dramatically. And if they just do that, toiletries, give me the peripherals, like sunscreen and wallet and watches and stuff. What do they need to take?
Sunscreen, I think, is a massive thing. And, you know, sunglasses, you know, your eyes can take a beating. Mm-hmm. You know, you're out there in the sun. And then also dust during the dry season.
Yeah.
And then I would, you know, I'd pack a lot of, I might need this, I might need that. So eye drops mm-hmm. for me is always something. Zambuk, a lot of people won't know what Zambuk is. It's like a
lip balm.
So those would always go in. And then it's the, you know, the what if, so headache tablet. It's,
you almost got your go bag.
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast this morning where they speak about the go bag. It was an American podcast. And it's like, when Armageddon comes, you got your go bag. Just grab what's in there. Oh, no, my medicine and my guns. Okay, yeah. So you've got your go bag for safari.
Yes.
Which is, this is all my medicine, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So overall, if you're packing more than that clothing for a safari, I think you're overkilling.
Yes.
I really
absolutely
do. So I think from a cold weather point of view, just to run through kind of similar thing, if I had to pack, I would go hiking boots, I would put in my bag.
Is this now, like, if you're going to a place like Svalbard?
This is Svalbard. This is Tromso, where you and I are going.
Yeah.
This is the Arctic voyage Mike and I are doing, even to Iceland.
Yeah.
So, I would, in my bag, I would have the following shoes. I would have hiking boots,
mm-hmm.
waterproof. I would have Birkenstocks, and I'll tell you why later. If it's going to Svalbard or the Arctic voyage, I would need Arctic muck boots, which is a knee-high waterproof thing when you get on and off Zodiacs. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe ours should be all right. So, those boots would go in. I normally, when I travel to the cold places, I would wear my heaviest shoes because I take them off on the plane.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing socks, which is a good thing. So those shoes go in the bag. Next up would be, for all those places, expedition pants. I'm currently using Norona. It's a waterproof, splash-proof thing that you're going to wear. I can use two for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Because underneath, you've got base layers.
Yeah.
So my two pants go in first. Underneath would be two base layers. Sometimes three because I can wash as well. That's all the stuff for the bottom. At the top, I would have base layers, either medium weight, or then if it's really cold, merino base layer. On top of that, a fleece of sorts. So either a full fleece with a short zip or a full zip fleece, just any brand would do. On top of that, if I'm layering, I would have a puffy jacket. I'm currently using all Helly Hansen, but it's similar as the North Face one that you have.
Yeah.
On top of that, I would have a shell jacket if we're layering now for really cold. And then, if anything, a parka, like a parka puffy, I will overlay in the videos that we're going to do. That kind of layering system works really well because you can dial it up and or down. Beanies, a couple, and then gloves, a whole range.
Mm.
And again, I mean, I've gone to Svalbard for 10 years now. Every single time I've overpacked.
Yeah.
Every time. But what if I'm really cold? No, you idiot. You've been there for 8 years. You know what it's like. Mm. So I can cut that down as well. So it's not that difficult. The one thing that I found interesting is when I was in Serengeti recently, so the mornings were fresh and chilly,
yeah.
and the afternoons go from hot to cold.
Yes.
So what I found worked really well for me is in the mornings I would wear a puffer jacket because
mm-hmm.
it's nice and puffy and cold. And then in the evenings I would take my shell jacket with me because I found the puffer is too warm initially.
Yeah.
So, but that's way more specific. Then you're packing on. I had them with me. So that's the only reason why. But from a cold point of view, I think the most important thing, feet need to be warm, hands need to be warm, and head.
Hmm.
Once you sort it there, you're good.
Do you have any specific socks that you...
So for normal, I normally use thick-ish hiking socks. Majority I've gotten here. In Svalbard, I bought one or two pairs of reindeer socks,
okay.
which is, I don't even look wearing them yet. It's ridiculously hot.
Yes.
And then if I'm going to like really cold, like now in March, I would have like sports socks underneath, then a hiking sock, and then sometimes something over the top.
Okay.
The reason for the Birkenstocks, especially in the Arctic for me, is when you get to on the ships, at Tromsø, for example, is it's very convenient because you're on the ship walking around, you've got your warm socks on and Birkenstocks for around the ship. You can go outside, you can come inside. Some people use slippers.
Okay.
What's this brand? It's a polar bear on the brand. Norel. I'm lost now. Anyways, rubberized sole and then kind of soft, because you can walk around the boat with that. But when you go on the Zodiac, you put your big boots on.
Yeah.
So the Birkenstocks for me works well. Even in places like Iceland, where it's really cold, you would get dressed in the morning, and then I would go drop all the luggage of the vehicle, if it's self-drive or with the guide, come back for breakfast, and we hang around inside the hotel for quite a bit. And there it's very comfortable to be warm with your Birkenstocks instead of walking around with hiking boots.
Yeah.
So that, to me, plays pretty well. I don't think anything else major compared. So it's not that difficult once you understand the layering system.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, and I read this yesterday, if you are layering, you need to make sure that your base layer can get rid of moisture.
Yeah.
Because the base layer, that's almost like those
thermals for lack of a better term. Yeah. So the one in the video we're going to do, I just brought one, which is a medium base layer. It's not for very cold.
Hmm.
It's more for active. But the merino or wool base layer is what you want for very, very cold. I read recently, if they call it temperature wicking or something, when you're sweating under all of the stuff, if the base layers can't get rid of the moisture, your body loses temperature 240 times faster in water than in air.
Oh, wow.
So if you get cold and wet underneath, you got a problem.
Yeah.
And there was something I read this, I was listening to a podcast yesterday about rucking, where rucking started from the military, the Green Berets, that, the other. And the guy said that when your feet get hurt from hiking for that long, it takes over your mind.
Mm.
Cold is the same.
Yeah.
Once you get to a point in those extreme conditions that you're cold, you're screwed.
Mm.
It messes with your head. It's all you can think about. Yeah. You can see the most beautiful things. Your head is just, you're cold. End of discussion.
Yeah.
So you have to protect. So that base layer for me is the foundation. For a 10-day Svalbard trip, I'll probably take 3 base layer pants, and maybe 2 at the top.
Hmm.
If it's a warm Arctic day, well, wear a t-shirt, because you get some t-shirt base layers as well.
Okay.
But yeah, it's still, I've got the North Face range of bags from small, medium, large, extra large. I always take the extra large. I could probably get away with medium now.
Yeah.
Because it's been streamlined, pack too much.
Yeah.
So I think it's a pretty overall, I said to John early on, Andrew, you pack your stuff on the bed before you travel and take half away.
Yeah.
And then he said, yeah, his wife is like, if there's a gap in the bag, it has to be filled with something. Put more. Anyway, so what we'll do, I mean, any other advice, people traveling, clothing-wise, gear for trips?
No, I think if you're not sure, then yeah, get in touch with us or your travel agent, whoever you've booked your trip through.
Hmm.
And I think ask the right questions about, you know, what the... do they do in the camp? Do they offer laundry and those things? Because that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
If you can do laundry every day, you know, like you say, you can
back off the stuff.
It's interesting, just on the laundry, I've been thinking, a lot of people have been asking about Iceland and our trip and stuff. Most of the vessels, like the Stockholm, the Rembrandt, these do not do laundry.
Yeah.
So there, and I've often found, the only laundry that I might want to do on there, depending how much I pack, underwear.
Yeah.
But then you can take a little bit of what's called? Washing powder, do the base, and hang it up. It's very quick.
Yeah.
But for all the other things, like your base layers and all of the outerwear, you don't need 4 parkas.
No.
You need 1 jacket. Yeah. So it's definitely, you could back it up. So guys, what we'll do is there's a video that's going to go with this particular podcast. It'll be out in the next week or so on the Wild Art website, on the blog. And in it, Johan and I are just going to model, for lack of a better term, and just discuss why this and what it is.
Yeah.
On that blog post, we'll also put 4 PDFs. Actually, we can actually just do 2, thinking about it. Safari, all variations, and cold weather. It's a done. And those PDFs you can download, and hopefully that'll help with packing. If you have any questions, like Johan said, get in touch. Otherwise, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, G.
Any questions, fire them through. Johan@wildeye.com, Jerry@wildeye.com. Otherwise, just go look for us on Instagram. We're all over there, and we'll chat in the next episode. My name is Jerry.
My name is John.
We're from Wild Eye. Bye for now.
Cheers.